Translation. By good behavior and freedom from envy, one should counteract suffering due to the other living entities. By meditation in trance, one should counteract suffering due to providence. And by practicing hatha yoga, pranayama, and so forth, one should counteract suffering due to the body and mind. Similarly, by developing the mode of goodness, especially in regard to eating, one should conquer sleep. By practicing, oh, sorry, if we can all behave, if we can all repeat after me, please, excuse me. By good behavior, we do need to behave good in Krishna consciousness. Purport. By practicing, one should avoid eating in such a way that the other living entities will not be disturbed and suffer. Since I suffer when pinched or killed by others, I should not attempt to pinch or kill any other living entity. People do not know that because of killing innocent animals, they themselves will have to suffer severe reaction from material nature. Any country where people indulge in unnecessary killing of animals will have to suffer from wars and pestilence imposed by the material nature. Comparing one's own suffering to the suffering of others, therefore one should be kind to all the living entities. One cannot avoid the sufferings inflicted by providence. Therefore, when suffering comes, one should fully absorb oneself in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One should avoid sufferings from the body, the mind, by practicing mystic Hatha Yoga. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnanan Jnana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militan Jaina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Satarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I thank all of you for being here today. It's quite a full room full here today. So I take your permission. I can say a few words to try and inspire you in your Krishna consciousness. Vanchakalpatribhyascha kripa sindubhyayavacha patito nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Suffering, nobody wants. Anybody likes suffering? Generally, the material world, we try to devise ways of eradicating suffering. So here, if you want to try and get rid of suffering, the Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us a little hint. Nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to feel pain. But these things are forced upon us, whether we like it or we don't. So the Bhagavatam here, Prabhupada in the purport, is saying that the suffering that we have is directly related to the amount of suffering we give to others. So when we cause suffering to others, then in return we will get that suffering as well. Maybe not immediately, maybe a bit later on in life, but this suffering generally is caused because, as explained here, to the envious nature that some of us, especially I, have. So in particular here, Prabhupada is speaking of the unnecessary animal killing that's going on in modern society. killing of animals has been there in the Vedic culture. Eating of meat has been there in the Vedic culture to a certain degree for certain class of people who cannot control the wagging of their tongue. So there are some kind of exemptions given for those who want to eat meat. But what is not acceptable, what is very, very hard to accept, is the mass killing of animals that's taking place in the modern society. I'm not sure if somebody is from Manchester. Anyone from Manchester here? I've been told, I haven't seen it, but there's a slaughterhouse which is 1 mile long. I don't know if anyone can confirm this. There's no windows. There's just one big block of building. And nothing happens there. 24/7 of killing poor, innocent animals. Now, if our leaders cannot see the direct reaction caused by killing these living entities and the suffering of the living entities in the countries, especially what's on everyone's mind at the moment, what is it? Huh? War. There's so much on war at the moment. If you just turn on the news, if you read the newspaper, now Syrian is going to go into war. All the time, conflicts in Africa, there's so many wars going on. I mean, war is such a heavy, heavy part of our society. If you ever watch documentaries, 95% is about World War I and World War II, what Hitler's done, the atrocities that's been performed, because those things have such a deep impression, because so much suffering goes on in wars, so many living entities are killed. This has a profound effect on people. So they want to try and show this to the people, but for somehow they cannot relate to the fact that although all these people are being killed, just like slaughterhouses, practically speaking, it's directly related to the fact of how much animals they kill. Because nature or providence has a such a way that it doesn't just protect or give to the human society, it has a responsibility for nature, for the other living entities. So it is said that man's greatest enemy for the earth is man itself. Because the animals, they can live nicely. They're not too greedy. If there's food over there, generally they'll take enough for the day. There's not generally too much storage. But for man, the most difficult thing for man to conquer is this greed. Greed is one of the most difficult thing for man to conquer. And it can start off with the tongue. The tongue is the leading factor in how we have uncontrolled senses. And eating is one of the ways that affects our body. Because the more we put these dead animals in our body, the duller our senses and our intellect become. So although some people might seem they're very, very intelligent, although they might seem very, very sharp, but actually, because of all this meat eating, they become dull in what area? Compassion. So they have no compassion for the other living entities. So when we have no compassion, when we think we are the only thing that counts in life and we're the number one, then we have a very, very sad understanding of life. Generally, if we try to help others, if we try to help alleviate someone else's suffering, then we become happy. I don't know if you ever experienced this. If you cook a meal for yourself, you'll enjoy that meal very nicely. But if you invite somebody and you cook for the pleasure of someone else, immediately the happiness increases. So when we try to conduct our life in such a way that we're trying to help others, then our suffering will eradicate to a certain degree. When we just think about ourselves, then it is very, very difficult. So here, Prabhupada is explaining, the first thing is that we have to not be envious of the other living entities. So sometimes it's not always easy when we live in such close proximity with each other. Sometimes, you know, we get on each other's nerves to a certain degree. We can't understand the human being next door to us, the devotee, his ways. But we have to try and learn how to transcend and try and not be selfish. And it's not easy. It's very, very, very difficult. Because generally the mind, the body, just wants to try and gratify one's own needs. Very, very few people want to try and break out of this situation and try and help others. And those who are in Krishna consciousness, they're fortunate that they're in this position to try and help others. Because the very, very foundation of Krishna consciousness is compassionate. Lord Chaitanya's movement is based on compassion to the other living entities. The Vaishnava is a paradukhida, that when he sees the suffering of the other living entities, when he sees that someone is having a hard time, then rather than pushing that person down and pushing yourself up so that you feel much better, no. The Vaishnava, he tries to help the other person, no matter what the situation is. And even if it's like an enemy, there's a very nice story that in the Mahabharata, when there was the war going on between the Kauravas and the Pandavas, at the end of the day, when the war had stopped, then they would go to each other's tent and they would treat each other as friends. So once Maharaj Yudhishthira heard through Krishna that Bhishma, he had 5 arrows. And these 5 arrows were meant to kill the Pandavas. So Krishna, again, he was concerned about the welfare of his devotees. He devised a plan whereby he asked Yudhishthira to go to the tent of Duryodhana. Yudhishthira and Arjuna, and the whole of them went together. So Duryodhana had these 5 arrows from Bhishma, and then he made a promise, because Duryodhana was picking at him, that he wasn't fighting his best. Bhishma, if he wanted to, he could have wiped out the Pandavas very, very easily. But he was reserving himself because he didn't want to kill the Pandavas. But due to the prodding of Duryodhana, he said that I have these 5 arrows. And then Bhishma said, tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas. And Duryodhana, thinking that he'll be very smart, he didn't trust Bhishma, so he decided to keep the arrows himself. So he kept the arrows. So one late evening, there was a knock on his tent, and it was Krishna, there was Arjuna, Yudhishthira, they all came over. And then Duryodhana welcomed them. So even though they were enemies, Duryodhana welcomed the Pandavas and treating them very, very nicely. So then Duryodhana said, you have come to my place, what do you want? Of course, the Kshatriyas, they don't want to beg charity because that's not their nature. They like to get what they want by their own means. So Arjuna asked Duryodhana, do you recall this one time I saved you from the attack you had? And at that time I saved you. And then you promised me you'll give me anything I want. And then Duryodhana said, yes, yes, I'll give you whatever you want. Do you want some arrows? Do you want some army? I can give you one. Akshahini division. I can even give you your kingdom back. And Arjuna, Yudhishthira said, no. He said, I don't want this. What I do want is those five arrows that you have kept. Duryodhana was really shocked. He couldn't understand how Arjuna knew about these arrows. Of course, as a Kshatriya, he had to keep his word. He had no choice in the matter. So he took the arrows and then he gave the arrows to Arjuna. So the next morning, when Bhishma came to ask for the arrows, a very, very embarrassing grandson said, I had given them away. And of course, we know Bhishma was a devotee. So he knew all along that actually it was Krishna who had planned this to protect his devotees. So therefore he said, today I will fight so severely. Today I will fight so intensely that Krishna himself, even though he's made a vow not to pick up a weapon, he will pick a weapon to defend his devotee Arjuna. So, as we know, Krishna is a charioteer. The charioteer's business is just to guide the chariot here and there. So that day, Bhishma was death incarnate. Wherever he was going, he was just destroying the armies of the Pandavas. With his ferocious bow, he was just devastating the entire Pandava armies. And then at that point, Arjuna, all the other Maharathis on the Pandava side, no matter how hard they tried to counteract Bhishma. And then Bhishma was fighting so intensely towards Arjuna in particularly that Arjuna was losing. And then at one point, Bhishma put his arrow and he was just about to kill Arjuna. And Krishna jumped off his chariot and then he picked up a cartwheel, a chariot cartwheel, and he ran towards Bhishma. And Bhishma saw Krishna coming towards him. And he dropped his bow and he welcomed Krishna coming towards him and seeing that he was going to be killed by Krishna. For a devotee, Krishna coming towards you with a cartwheel, Bhishma wanted. He had so much suffering, he didn't want to fight the Pandavas. He thought this is the best way to end my life. Arjuna saw this, he jumped off the chariot. He didn't want Krishna to break his vow. And then you could imagine this scene. Bhishma on this one side, Krishna running across the battlefield, Arjuna dragging Krishna, trying to stop him. And Krishna was just about to kill Bhishma. And what stopped him? Anyone knows? No? Was that conch shell? That's right. It was the end of the day of the battle. The conch shell had blown and then no more fighting. So as they say, saved by the conch shell. So in this way, Krishna, who is the friend of all the living entities, especially his devotees, wanted to protect his devotee Arjuna at all costs, even if it meant breaking his vows. So when he was speaking to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna said to Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. So Krishna could have said it himself, but everyone knows, or people generally think, Krishna's character, he breaks his vow, we don't know what he is. So he was saying that people might not believe me, but if you say it, Arjuna, because Arjuna was of good character, that my devotee will never perish, then people will believe. So here it is explained that this suffering that is forced upon us generally comes from three different aspects: adibhautik, adidevik, and adiatmik. So these are the three different ways the living entities suffers in the material world. So adiatmik is mind and the body. So here it's directly saying that the mind and body gives us a lot of suffering. You probably all had, the mind. We used to have one devotee here, I forget his name, and he used to bang his head against this board and he used to say, the mind! I can't control my mind! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna! So sometimes we think that the mind gets the better of us. And he used to bang his head on the wall in that corner. You might see a dent there. So that's not the best way to control the mind, by banging against the wall. There are the better ways. And the ways we can control the mind is to simply chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The mind is always going to give us so many problems. It's one of the most difficult things to control. Even Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's easier to control the wind. Of course, very hard to control the wind. I don't know if anyone's tried. It's been quite windy lately. So it's quite hard to control the wind. So if you try to understand how hard it is to control the wind, you can probably imagine how hard it is to control the mind. It's very, very difficult. So the mind gives us so much suffering, always trying to accept things to try and make us happy, trying to reject things us. And the body, as we know, always constantly giving us suffering from the day one to day we end. The body gives us so much suffering. We get a little bit of fleeting happiness, but that is so short and temporary, because the body is not really meant for enjoyment. It's just a vehicle for us to try and eradicate some of our karma. The real purpose of the body is to try and serve God, Krishna. The more we try to enjoy our body, the more actually we'll try and suffer. So these things are forced upon us. When Sanatan Goswami, when he escaped from the Nawab Hussein Shah, when he went through that track and he met Lord Chaitanya, and one of the questions he asked Lord Chaitanya is, why are these things inflicted upon me? Why do I suffer? Nobody wants to suffer. But these things are given to us by providence due to our karma. So the least amount of suffering we cause to other living entities, the least amount of suffering we'll have in our own life. The more we give to others, the less we'll suffer. So the body will be always there giving us so much problems. When you're youth, you think you're at the top of the universe, your body is very, very young, you try to instruct a teenager. Anyone ever tried to do that? It's next to impossible. I saw an advert once and it's saying, encyclopedia for sale. And reason for sale, teenager knows everything. So it's very, very hard to instruct a teenager. They seem to think they know everything. But then as they become into manhood, when they get married, when they see the reality of the material world, then slowly, slowly they understand. One devotee was telling me once that they phoned their mother up and they said to their mother, "Mother, I'm really, really sorry for all the suffering and the pain that I might have caused you." And the mother said, "Why? What's happening? Are your children giving you a hard time?" So the mother could realize that in her youth, she gave her mother a hard time. And now it was her turn by her teenagers giving her a hard time. So that's natural in some ways, because this attachment we have for our children, at the beginning they give us so much happiness, but that very, very same attachment we have, it gives us suffering to a certain degree. We cannot help that. And then, so that's the suffering we get from the body, the mind. No one can stop that. The only thing we can do is learn to accept it and deal with it and not make too much out of it. The next kind of suffering we get is adi-daivik. That's things that are thrown upon us by the nature, the elements, earth and things like that. So of course, at the moment, everyone's wondering where is the good old British summer gone. All we're seeing is rain, rain, rain. In fact, June was said to be the wettest month since time they started recording. So we all like a bit of sunshine. The sun is probably the most powerful element. When the sun comes, everyone is happy. When it's cloudy, when it's miserable, everyone's a little bit, you know. Especially probably if you go on book distribution, no one wants to stop in the rain when it's cold, miserable. When it's a little bit sunny and cheerful, people are a little bit more receptive. So these things, again, we have no control of. We would like to have a nice summer. We would like to kind of enjoy some nice weather. But these things, again, they're entrusted upon us. And again, this is directly in connection to the amount of suffering we cause to other living entities. So the mass majority of people are putting down or eating some hamburger or beef burger, but they're not realizing this is having an effect on the so-called British weather. Why? Because once Srila Prabhupada said that if we stopped eating meat in England, the weather would improve immediately. So we can see that the eating meat is directly related to the type of weather we're having. So these things, again, the demigods, they inflict upon us the suffering. We cannot stop. There was one sage. He saw how the mothers, they were having a lot of suffering due to the pregnancy. Of course, I haven't experienced that, but I've told men are not very good at suffering. Women can take more suffering than men. And one of the most difficult thing is the suffering of trying to have a living entity in your womb and trying to keep it there for 9 months and giving birth. It's such pain that if men ever tried to have that pain, they would faint. So by nature it was arranged that women who are more tolerant, they have that pain. But one sage thought, why do the women have to go through this? Why do they have to suffer like this? It's not fair. So this sage decided that instead of the natural way of having birth, why don't we just grow the kids? We'll just plant a kid and the tree will pop out. I can pick a kid. No, I don't want that kid. Oh yeah, this one looks nice. I'll have this kid over here. But did it work? No. Because these things are ordained. This is the way we have to take birth. So as much as he tried, he had a lot of mystic power. He tried to grow babies through the tree. It did not work. So we've got suffering due to our own mind. We've got suffering due to the other living entities. And what's the other one? Sorry? Other living entities. the other living entities causes pain and suffering. So we see this in the world, the conflict that's going on. It's such a sad state of affair that people are fighting for this piece of land, for that piece of land. When sometimes Srila Prabhupada, he had to go through the customs and they didn't have the right visa. A couple of times he was detained. And then he would say, these people at the borders are like barking dogs. But actually, it doesn't belong to them, this land. This land belongs to Krishna. Before the Americans went to America, who was the natural owner of that place? It certainly wasn't the Americans. In Australia, the same. In so many places, people have gone, they've wiped out nations of people, tribes of people, and they've plucked their flag. And even in a piece of so-called rock up in the moon, they've got the American flag. So one day you can buy a piece of real estate if you want there. And if you want Vishwambad, you can go there. Now they're making ways people can go to the moon. So this is the living entity, the way it tries to conquer its suffering by trying to go into other planets and things like that. So constantly we are in conflict, either with our neighbors. You ever seen this program? It's called Neighbors from Hell, how they build big thick fences and walls. They can't stand each other. They have like binoculars watching. So unless we try to understand that the common person that we're trying to make happy is not us, but God, then we'll become happy. Just like if you have a pond, and if you throw loads of pebbles, you will create a lot of ripples, so many different ripples. And these ripples, they will all bang into each other. But if you take these pebbles and if you just drop them in one point constantly, then you'll just get the one ripple coming out. So no matter how many pebbles you throw, if you just throw it at the one point, then you'll just have one flow of one big ripple. If you throw loads and loads, then you'll get so many different types of ripples. So by throwing different stones, then we have different interests in life. But if you throw it in one place, then that interest should be Krishna. So that is the best way to try and understand and get on in life. It's not always easy to try and get on with people. It's probably the most difficult thing to try and see how we can live together on this planet which is given to us. Once Srila Prabhupada told his disciple, your love for me will show how you cooperate together. So this cooperation, working together, trying to get on with the living entities, with each other, can only be possible if we try and have that common goal in life, which is to serve Krishna. And as explained here, the best way is to simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that chanting will try and help control the mind to a certain degree. And quite interestingly enough, although Srila Prabhupada doesn't generally advocate Hatha Yoga, but here it is explained that if you get some suffering in the bodies, that Hatha Yoga one can perform, as long as it's done with a view of trying to keep the body fit and well so we can serve Krishna. So I think nowadays there's so many different classes of yoga, Hatha Yoga is going on. So a little bit of pranayama, because this is what actually causes the diseases in our body, is when the life airs are not flowing properly. So this is what balances our body. And if the life air in our bodies are not balanced properly, then that what causes the diseases. I was reading one article that what causes the bad weather is not the rain, it's not the sunshine, it's actually the flow of the air. The flow of the air depends the type of weather we have. So the type of air that flows in our body depends on our health. And by performing a certain pranayamas, then this can eradicate certain amount of our suffering. So in this way, the best way to eradicate suffering with each other is to serve Krishna together. The best way to try and control the mind is to chant Hare Krishna. And the best way to try and eradicate some of the body suffering, perform a little bit of Hatha Yoga, Surya Namaskar or something like that. Okay? Thank you very much. Are there any questions, comments, complaints?